Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they had been out all day and didn't get home until late that night. So there was no question which house had been empty, which made it a little hard to explain when the neighbors asked who had been in their house all day.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call and share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and press subscribe wherever you're listening to us or watching us or whatever you're doing, maybe getting us through your fillings. That would be exciting. I always wanted to get a radio station in through fillings and share your ghost stories with us. I remember there was... there was a toothbrush that came out in the 90s, and I'm pretty sure this wasn't a fever dream. I'm pretty sure I was at the Prangy Way at the Forest Mall, two things that don't exist anymore in our hometown. And it was like a toothbrush, and it played songs, or played a song, I think. And it was like a song programmed in it. The only way you could hear it, though, was when you're brushing your teeth. It was a product that encouraged kids to brush your teeth, because then you could listen to, like, the Spice Girls or something, which would make me not want to brush my teeth, I think, if I had that specific toothbrush. But you could pick a certain hit, and it was, like, usually poppy stuff of the 90s. Are you looking this up, Todd?
I am. Tooth Tunes, would that be what it was?
I don't know what it was called. I never had one. I just saw it at the store.
Sense. Because that's about how long you would want a kid to brush their teeth. So,
yeah.
Well, not maybe 3 minutes, but I think it's 2 minutes. If you make a short song,
yeah,
you're supposed to brush your teeth for the entire song.
I just want to experience what this felt like to have the music vibrated into your head.
That's a great idea.
Well, and then you're sitting there going, you don't even have any cavities, do you, Tony?
No.
Not one.
No.
Ever.
Never had one. No.
That's
no. It's because I had tooth tunes. And all through childhood, I was like, okay, forget, I'm not brushing no more.
Yeah. I got to listen to this song till it's done.
Every time I'm here. Yeah, it was great.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what the songs were, but it would have been early, maybe New Kids on the Block or something. I think that probably was the era of when that would have been around. But, yeah.
So that'd be okay for girls. What would little boys use? I mean, they wouldn't want New Kids on the Block. They wouldn't want.
No, what would have been, I don't know, what would have been big at that moment in time? I mean, what? Def Leppard?
Yeah, I don't know.
You
know?
That would have been like a rock in the early 90s.
That wouldn't be good.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a very select market. You get that with the possessed Pee Wee Herman doll where you pull the string and it tells you demonic stories. There was like a rumor of that one. I don't think it was ever true, but you know, possessed peewee dolls, they could be a real thing. I remember seeing those at Kmart and going, oh, it'd be fun to get one. I remember seeing one on clearance, you know, like with the, like, it's like the shit that's like kind of been old and a little rough around the edges now. And I remember like pulling the string on it, and it was the record on the inside was kind of messed up. It was kind of like, oh, it was real creepy sounding, and it was peewee, which made it even weirder. These are the things I remember. I also watched the, I think it was the same day I watched the OJ chase at the Kmart on all the televisions.
I think kids nowadays have it so cool. Cause like when we were little, right. And you would have a doll or something or a toy that would talk. It was literally on a freaking record.
Yeah.
A record, like a piece of plastic with grooves in it. Now it's all digital. They can make them say whatever. They could probably talk themselves now with AI. Not back then. They could say five things and that was it.
And you found every way to manipulate them to make it sound weird. And the spin and speak was always the fun one, where you pull it and then it, like, the thing, the cow goes moo, moo. And if you could fuck with it and you could run it backwards, like, yes, yah, 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 yeah. And it sounded like Satan. It was great. And then people are like, what, especially if you're doing it like, well, you're a child in the nursery at the church. The kids are like, what is going on over here? And I'm like, doing the spin and speak.
While your eyes are rolling back in your head.
That's where Harper got it from.
Harper learned. Well, I never even did that. That's just a new generational thing that came on in the, you know, round two. But it was fun. It was fun during those things. I also once. This is horrible.
Thanks for prefacing it.
Now you have to share.
I have to share this. So it was Lutheran confirmation class, which is kind of like catechism, if you're Catholic. Every like Wednesday night, like we had it the same day the Catholics had their stuff. And it's like after school on Wednesday nights for, I don't know, a couple, like a year, I think. And I think it was like, I don't know, seventh grade or something.
Oh God.
I can't wait to hear. What is this?
There was a crucifix on the wall.
Oh God.
And it was hanging by a nail. It was just a smaller one. And before anybody got into the room, I went and flipped it.
Oh my gosh.
And then he's up there doing his, like, you know, the lesson, and nobody catches this because it's just in the back of the room. It's just kind of inconspicuous. All of a sudden he catches it, like, who did this? Didn't say a fucking word.
So how old were you then?
Seventh grade, 14-ish.
Okay. So at the time you're like, oh, I have no idea. Does the guy to this day think that it was a demonic thing you spoke?
I played stupid. I knew it was like, you know, demon. I was doing it more for the reaction and like waiting to see how long it took someone to see this and then how they would react, because it was kind of amusing sometimes to see how people react to things.
Oh, that's funny.
I think they gave me one, like, when I was confirmed. It was like, here's your gift. And it was, like, the exact same one I had done.
They handed it to you upside down.
That's what I was going to say.
Knowing look.
I think it might be in a drawer over there. I know it's somewhere around here.
Of course it is. You should hang it up in your studio upside down, see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, at one point, I had a... an experience, the only time I've ever had sleep paralysis, and some may argue it was not sleep paralysis, I don't know, but it was in Wausau, Wisconsin, and I woke up, I sat up, and then I felt paralyzed, and it felt like, the only way I can describe it is it felt like something moved through me. I had my eyes shut, I didn't want to see shit. And I didn't look, and then I was unparalyzed, and I slid under the covers and put the covers over my head and went back to sleep. But it freaked the shit out of me. And I was not, I didn't do any drugs or anything. I mean, there was nothing that was happening here with me chemically. But it freaked the shit out of me. Guess where that cross lived after that? It was above my bed until I moved out of that apartment.
I had somewhere I got a cross. I think my mom gave it to me. It was a wooden cross, but you could slide it open and you could lay the cross down, and then the cross would stand in the cross. And there are places for two candles next to it and a little bottle for holy water.
Oh, you make a little altar, really.
That's basically what it was. So if somebody was sick or whatever, you could place it next to the bed. It would kind of stand up on the side of the bed, and then you could burn candles and do prayers and stuff like that. I have no idea where that thing went. I think it was a hand-me-down from my grandparents. No idea.
Well, you know, at some point, your birthday will be coming up, Tom. Can't wait.
I'd be really, wouldn't that be really disturbing? Like if you're in like the hospital or something and there's like, you know, the little food cart thing that the tray, and then your family comes in and they're just like, hi, how are you? And then they're like, what do you got there? What did you bring my computer? And it's like, cross, take it out, stand it up, candles. Like, what are you doing? Like they're lighting, like, making an altar.
Like, the doctor.
Like, I just want more ice chips.
And of course I'm going, you know, because
exactly.
Burn the demon out of me.
The power of Christ compels you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. We're going to go to a letter here that we got, or a story. It says, the houses all looked the same, which was exactly the point. They were parts of the base housing, built quickly and efficiently, lined up in a row with identical layouts that made one unit blend into the next. From the outside, there was nothing that made any of them stand out, and after a while, even the repetition stopped registering. It was just where she lived. Inside, the closeness was harder to ignore. The walls were thin in a way that didn't require effort to notice. And you didn't have to stop and listen to become aware of the people next door. You could hear them walking up the stairs, moving from one room to another, and sometimes even talking if their voices carried just a little too far. It wasn't something anyone thought about on a daily basis, but over time, it became familiar enough that you could recognize what belonged and what didn't. Living there long enough meant you didn't just hear your neighbors, you understood their routines without ever seeing them. You knew when they were home, when they left, and when something didn't match what you were used to. That kind of awareness wasn't intentional. It simply came from being in a place where there wasn't much separation between one home and the next. She had grown up with it, so none of it felt unreal to her. If anything, it made things feel more connected. The couple who lived next door had been there just as long, and over time, both households had settled into a rhyme or a rhythm where they recognized each other's schedules without needing to talk about them. There was never any confusion about who was home and who wasn't. That was why one day stood out. She had been there that morning when they left, and there was nothing about it that felt different from any other day. Friends were visiting from out of town, and the plan was to spend the entire day in Washington, D.C., moving from one place to the next without worrying about getting back at a certain time. It wasn't a quick trip. It wasn't meant to be. They left knowing they wouldn't be back until later that night. Later ended up being much later than expected. Something small delayed them. Nothing serious, just enough to stretch the day longer than they had planned. And by the time they finally made it home, it was already dark, and everyone was tired enough that nothing stood out beyond how long they had been gone. The house looked exactly the way they had left it. There were no lights on, no doors out of place, no sign that anyone had been inside. It had that still closed up feeling of a space that had been empty all day, untouched, and waiting for someone to come back. That was what they assumed when they went to bed. There wasn't any reason to think otherwise. The next morning, she was in the house when the neighbors came over together. That alone wasn't unusual since they stopped by often, but the way they started the conversation immediately felt different. They asked her parents, who had been at the house the day before. It wasn't asked casually, and it wasn't framed like a guess. It sounded like they were trying to confirm something they already believed. Her parents told them no one had been there. They had gone all day, from morning until late that night. No one had stopped by, and no one had access to the house. The neighbors paused before responding, exchanging a look that made it clear they didn't understand the answer they had just been given. Then they explained what they had heard. They said that throughout the entire day, they had heard movement coming from next door, not just once or twice, but consistently over the course of several hours. They described footsteps on the stairs, steady and separated or repeated, the kind of movement that sounded like someone going up and down more than once. It wasn't rushed or frantic. It sounded like normal activity, like people moving through the house as part of a routine day. They also heard voices, not clear enough to understand what was being said, but distinct enough to know there was more than one person. It sounded like conversation happening in different parts of the house, overlapping in the way it does when people are talking to each other from separate rooms. Then they mentioned the music. They said it didn't sound like anything they had ever heard coming from that house before. It wasn't modern, and it wasn't familiar. It was softer, older, the kind of music that stood out simply because it didn't match anything they recognized. And mixed in with all of that, they heard the sound of glass, not breaking or falling, but clinking together in a way that suggested movement, like people setting things down, picking them up, or shifting around with drinks or dishes. It wasn't random noise. It had a pattern, something that made it feel like more than just sound carrying through walls. It sounded like people were inside. She stood there listening to all of it, trying to make sense of what they were saying, but nothing about it matched what she knew. They had been gone the entire day without any break in the timeline where someone could have come in and left unnoticed. There was no reason for anyone to be there, and when they returned that night, everything had been exactly as they left it. At first, her parents suggested it could have been another unit further down, since the walls were thin and sound didn't always behave the way you expected it to, but both neighbors shook their heads. They had lived there long enough to know the difference. They understood how sound carried through the walls and what the surrounding unit sounded like. This hadn't been distant or unclear. This had been right next door, inside the house, all day. That was the part that never changed. No matter how they tried to look at it, they never found an explanation for it, and nothing like that ever happened again. They continued living in that house for years after that day, and no one ever came over to say they heard anything like it again. There were no more long stretches of activity, no more voices or music carrying through the walls, and no second moment where it sounded like people were inside when no one was home. There were smaller things from time to time, things that could be explained if you wanted them to be, but nothing that matched that day. Whatever had happened, it didn't repeat. And that was what stayed with her. Now, looking back on it as an adult, that's the part she comes back to the most. If no one was there, then who spent the entire day inside that house? And if something really was there that day, moving from room to room, talking, playing music, living in that space as if it belonged to them, how many other times did it happen on days when no one thought to ask about it? You know, could it have been a vagrant?
It almost sounds like there was like a party going on or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me, though, of when I was a kid in that house we lived in and my best friend living next door, and she would be like, yeah, somebody was in your house.
Yeah.
While you guys were gone, and there was nobody in my house. But then it's like, could they have left the TV on and it turned itself off? You know, because my friend lived in an apartment for a while, and I was at his house one day, and somebody coughed, and it scared the shit out of me because it's just me and him, and I heard this cough like in the room, and it was the guy who lived next door, and the walls were so thin that it sounded like he was in the same room with us, and I was like, holy shit, do you, like, can you hear everything? He goes, oh, yeah, if I wanted, I could talk to him right now. Like, they could just hear each other.
Well, and the thing about the TV, I don't know if it could be that, only because the stair thing, right? Walking up and down the stairs. Oh, you didn't get that on a TV. When I was growing up, the first place I remember living in was a townhouse that we had. And the neighbors next to us, again, that wall between us, not very thick. And so when they'd come down the stairs, you could hear them walking down the stairs. If they were fighting or yelling or kids were laughing, you'd hear all of that. So it was very, you know, you would know if it was people or if it was something else going on over there.
I once had an apartment where the walls were very thin. This was in our hometown when I lived there for a short period of time as an adult. And the my neighbor, right on the opposing wall to me, was somebody, actually, you and me, Todd, both know. Someone who worked for the DJ service, but was also around my age. And I think he did some board hopping for us and stuff. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
good kid, good guy. In fact, I think we were in different schools, but we were the same year graduating. And like, it was total like, oh, wow, like we're neighbors. Okay, great. You know, hadn't seen him in a little while. We're all like 19, 20-ish, around that age. And him and his girlfriend lived there. Those walls are really fucking thin. Oh, my God.
I knew you were going there. As soon as you started this story, I'm thinking, okay, we had an upside down cross already.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be neighbors and.
Mm-hmm. It was loud. It sounded violent.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think anybody was being hurt, but they certainly got into it. Yeah, because I mean, I remember the first time I was like, is he watching a porn or something? And then all of a sudden I hear boom, and like there's like literally like vibration in my room because it's like the opposing wall had a body slammed up against it, like in a fucking movie, and then in a subwoofer.
Now you know what it was like that time I got really drunk and ended up staying over at that person's house that was our boss for a while. Gio and his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So imagine you have being... to listen to your boss doing that?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. That is the last thing. Yeah. And I mean, it was a very small apartment that I was staying in.
At the time, he was not a very small man.
No. And she was a very tiny woman.
Yes.
So all I remember is that everything was shaking like crazy. And I was hearing screams and yelps and stuff like that, and
God.
I was laying on the couch, which smelled like ass, and just puking into a bucket sitting right next to me, because by the way, the bathroom was in their bedroom, so I couldn't actually go to the bathroom. That's why I was given a bucket, so they could still do their thing and I could still, you know, do my thing. At least
he was considerate, you know.
Absolutely, right?
Like the next day?
No, I didn't.
Were you like, gosh, I didn't get any sleep? Or no, I passed out so hard last night, I didn't hear a thing.
That's what I did. That's what I must have passed out last night because I don't remember anything.
And by anything, I mean anything.
It's one of those things you're like, you wish you were like, it would be blocked out, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, over the years, my mind, you know, I've lost a lot of memory and stuff like that. That is something I will never forget.
That's etched. That's
something you would like to forget.
Absolutely. But for some reason, the sounds, the feeling, and the smell of that couch just come right back to me.
and you're throwing up at the sink.
I remember I looked out. The windows were open because I think it was summer. And I looked out the window, and in the window sill was an old cheese ball, like a Cheetos cheese ball had mold growing on it. That comes back to mind too.
Memory.
Yes. Etched between the pages of our mind.
Did y'all go for breakfast then, or?
No, he drove me back to the station the next morning, and I puked all the way back. I just opened up the door on Main Street and just
there you go. I'm trying to think.
I don't even have anywhere to go after.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, do you have an experience?
I can't add to that.
No.
I can't add to it.
I'm trying to think of other situations where I had neighbors that were. Have you ever had this? It's called exploding head syndrome. And it's where you hear like a loud bang and you're usually somewhat asleep.
Yeah.
And you wake up and you're like, what the hell was that? Because it seems very vivid, like something woke you up. And there's absolutely nothing. And there was no real bang, but it was in your dream. And that we've had, I think that's been in some of our stories before. I've had that a few times, and it's usually in times of very high stress. When I've had that experience, and that's freaky. That's fucking weird because you really think something happened. And if you have pets or anything. It's usually something that jolts you awake. And if your pets are right there, your pets are going to be jolted awake because they're awaking with you. And they're like, why the hell is my owner moving? But it kind of like gives you a false confirmation bias. Did they hear it too? Because they're looking around. It's like they're looking around because you're looking around. Right. That can be kind of freaky when there's really nothing there.
I did have that happen. And we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
And it was so extreme that I honest to God thought a car had crashed into my house.
Yeah.
That's the only, I was in the basement, sound asleep, but my dog did exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And then the light going up the stairs into the kitchen had burned out.
Mm.
And so I had to walk across the kitchen to turn that light on.
Mm.
And the whole time I was like, I'm not hearing anything. Like, I think I should be hearing somebody in a lot of agony because it just crashed into my house. And my dog wouldn't even come up the stairs with me because I was probably so freaked out.
Yeah. And the dog's feeding off of you.
Anything to do with you. And it was everything I could do to walk across the kitchen and turn that light on, and nothing. Everything was totally normal. I actually called a police substation. I don't think I called 911. Mm-hmm. And I asked if there had been any sort of explosion in my neighborhood. Like, that's how much I thought it had actually happened.
Yeah.
And they're like, no reports of anything. I don't know what it was.
Weird.
Yeah. The neighborhood I live in now has, you know what a transformer's like when it blows up? It's really, really loud. That's happened a lot. Now, hasn't happened for about 6 months, but it was happening like once a month for a really long time, like an explosion. No idea what it was.
Yeah.
And then the neighbors, you know, chat where everybody's like, hey, what'd you guys hear? That was being brought up. Anybody hearing weird explosions? So at least that's good that it wasn't my own exploding
head
syndrome thing.
Yeah. That it's freaky when that happens.
Oh, shit.
Same house where I remember having that experience. And this was my first house in Wichita there. I remember I also had I think I've told this one before, probably multiple times, television and a DVD player. And the DVD player had its own like speakers with it beyond just the TV speaker. And so you could play the DVD and the TV could be off and you're still going to hear the DVD. I would go to sleep a lot, set the sleep timer, and usually the DVD would just run out and, you know, it would go off. One night I go to sleep, lights are off, TV goes off, DVD is still playing. It's an episode of Frasier, and they're all like whispering in like some dark alley to each other. I don't remember what the episode is, but I wake up and I just hear people whispering at the end of my bed, like where they're like, what the fuck is that? And I'm not like with it quite yet. I'm like, and I get out of my bed and I'm like, really? Cause I'm thinking like there's people in the hallway or something. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I don't want to turn the light on. Cause I'm like, and then I'm like, why does it sound like Niles Crane? Oh,
I guess
it's just
is.
The DVD. Yeah. Then I went back to bed. Yeah. Like, I like those where they end completely harmless and it's just kind of like, oh, well, there you go.
Like the universe playing a funny joke. Yeah. You.
Not like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. Yeah. Great people.
Maybe in 30 years when I have a ghost podcast, I'll tell this story and it'll be great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Show prep is what I was thinking the whole time. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. And hey, press subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. Wherever you are listening or watching, hit it. There you go. Get the bonus episode stuff, patreon.com. Search Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.